Get out of here.
What's wrong,
Mary?
There. You fool, you whacked all the dust and fingerprints off.
Why?
I just house proud, that's all. All the glimmers up. Inspector, this is obviously the work of that sinister criminal, Low Hing Hing. Let's try this door here. Ah, you, sir, excuse me. Inspector?
Yes?
This man is Chinese.
How do you know?
You can tell by his eyes.
His eyes?
Yes, didn't you hear the way he pronounced them? Well, don't worry, Inspector. I speak the language. All right, then Friday. And don't forget to starch the collars.
Wait a minute, Mr. Deacon. This man is a murderer. Lo Hing.
Ding.
What? You'll hang for this, Lo Hang.
You can't get away with this. I'll get you. Assure it. Assure it. I'm tied to this barrel of gunpowder.
Oh, well, that's over the boy.
Deacon, look out. He's lighting a fuse. He's going to blow us up.
What? Lo Hing. How long will this fuse take a burn? Tell me, right quickly. How long?
60 seconds.
Thank heavens for that. Can I just the time?
What power?
For one for this dog.
Anyone else tonight can prove it too. You gave me a sample of love.
anyone else.
I never was loved by anyone else.
Until I was loved by you.
Triumphs of engineering. Our next item concerns itself with the building of the Suez Canal. So let's clear the stage for Michael Benteen, the creator of Britain's leading scientist and engineer, the inventor of the ball toupee, the stringless violin for non-playing violinists, Captain Osric Gerhardt.
Good evening.
Good evening, Captain. Glad to have you with us again.
Glad to have me with you, yes.
Now, tell me, Captain, is it true that you built the Suez Canal?
Oh, yes, Mr. Milligan. Yes, oh, yes, I built it. It took me a long, long time, though. First, I had to get some permission from Cleopatra.
But the Cleopatra's been dead for 2,000 years.
I told you, it took me a long, long time.
Yes, I'm not doubting you, Captain, but for the benefit of the listeners, let's hear how you built the Suez Canal.
Ah, how you built the Suez Canal.
No, you.
Oh, me? Oh, well, it started many, many years ago in the Houses of Parliament where I was making my main speech to the monarch. And so, gentlemen, you see that all our ships have to sail right round Africa to get to India.
But can we travel over land?
We've tried that, but it ruined the bottoms of the ships.
You mean you've been dragging ships over land?
Oh, yes. I was on board one recently, and as we were dragging it across the Sahara Desert, it fell to bits.
But wasn't that dangerous?
Of course it was, but we managed to escape.
How?
In a lifeboat.
Lifeboats?
But I mean, we couldn't swim.
Swim? But you were in the Sahara.
I know. Who ever heard of anyone trying to swim in the Sahara?
Touché. That's all very well, but has any honorable member got any ideas for a new route?
Don't worry about that. I have. You know that Africa and Asia are joined by a narrow strip of land? Yes, Mr. Prime Minister. I give my attention to cut a canal right across that strip of land.
Ooh, cut Africa off from Asia?
Yes.
Ooh, but if you do that, Africa will float away.
Africa float away? I am silly man, of course. I never thought of that.
Oh, well, what are you going to do?
I nail it down with carpet tacks.
Oh, you're cleverer than I am. Come to think of it. Anybody?
Well, gentlemen, I shall call this canal the Suez. And Mr. Chancellor of the Exchequer,
yes.
You are going to pay for the Suez.
Suez.
All right, pray. Yes, Mr. Disraeli, get the lodge.
A few months later, Gerhardt arrived in Egypt, set up camp, and work began on the canal. Of course, there were certain obstacles to be overcome.
What are you both pitched by?
I sure am like him, Mr. Farouk. I'm building a canal, and I'm afraid it's going to run right through your house.
What? Threw me up by the yucky boy. You think off with a run downstairs and out in the front door every time a ship wants to go through?
Or what?
Silly old thing, you don't have to do that. Now, you can leave the key under the mat.
No light. Take the notice, Captain. Just turn a deaf ear.
Well, it so happens I do have a deaf ear.
Really?
I found it on the floor of a barber shop in Acton.
Excuse me, Captain.
Yes, Mr. Delesseps?
One of the workmen just took this out of the ground.
Let me see. Oh, great Scott. It's most valuable. It's an ancient Egyptian earth. Oh, and look, there's an old manuscript tucked into the neck.
What does it say, Captain?
Well, in ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics, it says, Laz liv du akdra pins.
And what's that mean?
Please leave two extra pints.
Well,
let's proceed with the work. We've very nearly finished. Where is my super speed Benteen excavator? Largus?
Yes, sir, genius.
Really? I say, Largus, you're looking very, very young today. You never seem to get any older.
Well, Captain, you know what they say. A thing of beauty is a boy forever.
Yes. Well, get my super-speed excavator ready, will you?
Yes.
Now, gentlemen, this new excavator of mine will move 30 tons of earth in exactly 1 minute.
That's impossible.
That's impossible. No, no, no. I'll prove it. I'll time it to you to the very, very exact second with my wristwatch. Ready? Go.
That's possibly the strangest sounding excavator I've ever heard.
Excavator? That was my wristwatch.
Captain, this telegram just arrived from Mr. Disraeli.
Well, let me see. What? Oh, no! Oh, this stuff is ruination! All my work ruined! I resign!
Why, Captain?
After all that digging, you know, I mean, do you know what they want to do with my beautiful canal?
What?
Fill it with water!
That was Nat Gilray, Holland's gift to British Radio. In return, we're sending Sandy McPherson. Revenge is sweet. The BBC has presented many radio scrapbooks of years gone by and innumerable recordings of old historic broadcasts. But what of the future? The Goons have decided to look forward some 40 years or so and present a glimpse of broadcasting in the year 1999.
This is the BBC Home Service. Here is the news, and this is Citizen 7638-J reading it. Conservative and Socialist MPs made farewell speeches at Southampton Docks today when Mr. Jack Fields, the last British Liberal, was deported in chains.
An announcement from the Silverstone Raceback states that Mr. Charles Moss, great-great-grandson of Mr. Sterling Moss, is hopeful of a British Shire victory this afternoon, if only the BRM will start.
The BBC Debating Society, which was founded in 1952, over 40 years ago, met last night for its usual weekly debate. The subject under discussion was, should Ted Ray retire?
Last night, radio's top quizmaster, Stuart McGavin, was warned for the 38,000th time about being rude on television by the BBC's new director general, Sir Gilbert Hardy. So much for the news in 1999. But what of other programs? With transatlantic influence even stronger than it is now, will our programs in 40 years' time sound something like this?
This is the ACBBC, the American-controlled British Broadcasting Corporation.
We present that dynamic drama, breathtaking epic, that vital, heart-rending story, that soul-feeding saga of human emotion.
Mrs. Dale's daughter. I'm worried about my husband, Jim. This morning at breakfast, I was covering my toast with a 16 layer of sludge that bitumen spread with the extra rich golden flavor. When I looked up, I noticed Jim. I wasn't sure it was Jim. He looked so different.
And why did he look so different? Because Jim that morning had shaved with his new Bolo Hickenbacher hydrostatic electric razor. The razor with the firelock, safety precision angle.
Yes, I hardly recognized him. His face was so covered with blood.
But worse still, I noticed something that froze my veins with horror. He hadn't drunk his pufa milk.
You may laugh, ladies and gentlemen. You may not think that important, but let us bring you the case of a man who has never heard of pufa milk.
Yes, no, I'm a spread dog. I was an office clerk, but I never got promotion because I was always a tired and listless kind of guy. Finally, I decided to see a doctor.
Hey, and you see that you're tired and listless during the day. You ever suffer from insomnia?
Oh, no, it's just that I cannot sleep.
What you need is pufa milk.
So every night I prepared a steaming hot cup of pufa milk. There was only one trouble.
And what was that?
I couldn't drink the filthy stuff.
And so Fred Bob got the sack and took a job as a billiard marker.
Yes, I always wanted to be a billiard marker. So now I'm quite happy.
Thinks to himself.
Thanks to pufa milk.
Well, you can see why I was worried. There was I sitting down to breakfast every morning with Jim and 14 advertising agents. For instance.
Dear?
Yes, Jim?
Could I have another slice of bread and butter?
Bread and butter? Come now, Mr. D. You mean Lurgy Loaf, the new wholemeal vitamin loaf. Eat Lurgy Loaf and you will never grow another leg. Yes, sir, what better to go with it than Crunch, the luminous paint-resisting butter? The only butter that will take away the taste of that filthy Lurgy Loaf.
Lurgy Loaf? Why, I ain't for good mind to knock you down with this jar of Swozo marmalade available in the 2-ton economy size, all grocers.
Why, how great are you this length of chocolate spaghetti? 3 shillings a pound, just pump in boiling water for fries, and that's a bingo. Your supper's ruined.
Why, you Swozo? Dear?
Yes, Jim?
Could I have that slice of bread and butter now?
Of course, Jim.
It was you who shot them, wasn't it, dear?
Yes, Jim. I shot them with my Jones and Schlesinger 32 handy pocket-sized automatic double-shot action pistol. Also available in large economy sizes. They're all...
Shut up.
What better to go with it than Zingo bullets? The only bullets...
Shut up.
Use Zingo bullets and you'll never...
Shut up!
I got it, Tiger! No, I got it!
To pufa milk!
And now we present the Ray Ellington Quartet.
I'll be coming back to...
Bum, sing a bum, 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 sing a bum. Bum, sing a bum, bum, bum. Boom. Why did my heart go boom, boom? Me and my heart go boom, boom, bitty boom, cause I found you. Boom, when you were near it, boom, boom. I could see love in the bloom, boom, bitty boom, all around. Was it a 7 or half past 11 or cruising around the Pacific? I only know that I can't let you go. Your affection for me is terrific. Boom, when we're bright and gloom. Oh, won't my heart go boom, boom, bitty boom, cause I love you.
Jealousy, but what can you do?
Adventure of that extraordinary creation of Peter Sellers, Major Bloodnock, in the quest for the abominable snowman.
Yes, my name is Bloodnock, Major Bloodnock, late of the first visit comes.
He was a balaclava, you know, yes.
I have a fine military record, Colonel Bogey on one side and Stars and Stripes on the other. At the time when the story starts, I had a nice little house on Clapham Common. One day, my Batman lad, Lord Milligan, rushed into my study in a state of great excitement.
Major Bloodnock! Major Bloodnock!
Major Bloodnock! Major Bloodnock! Major Bloodnock! Major Bloodnock! Yes, I was out. Admiral knew that when I wasn't home, he could always find me one of my old haunts, and sure enough, he did.
Major Bloodnock, send the gunboat away.
Hello, Admiral. What is it?
Letter for you, sir.
Letter? Let's see.
Here, stop that visiting. You'll have to pass object to the prisoners.
Yes, Bloodnock was in jail. The news that he'd been sentenced to 6 months hard made me very sad. I had hoped he'd get life. On his release, he was welcomed home by his faithful butler, Ellie.
Oh, blimey, you again? Come in, Major, sit down.
Thank you, Ellie, thank you. Ah, that's better. Now, I'll take my boots off, will you?
Yes, Major. That's one. And that's the other.
Right, now don't let me catch you wearing my boots again. Now, where's the letter you had for me?
Here you are, sir.
Well, then, what does it say here? Dear Major Bloodnock, we would like you to take charge of the new weather stations on Mount Everest. We realize that you have no meteorological experience, but in these troubled times, we believe that you are the ideal type of Englishman to be sent abroad. Oh. Yours sincerely, the Metropolitan Police. Oh. Mount Everest, where's that?
That's India.
Is it, dear?
Yes, dear.
Oh. Talking about India, let's have a look at the map. I do, you're right.
What's that?
There is a place called India. Forward!
A few months later, I found the Major and his team of incompetents in a little weather station on the slopes of Mount Everest.
Let's check the instruments. How's the wind gauge working?
Perfectly, sir.
Is the barometer okay?
Yes, sir.
How's the weather cut?
Pretty cold, mate.
Now, Captain Johar.
Ah, yes?
Climb down to the base camp at the bottom of the mountain and see if they've got any supplies.
Right, sir.
Now, have you any supplies down there?
Oh, I love them out. Thank you.
Well, did they have any supplies?
Yes.
Oh, we'll see if they've got any milk, will you?
Right, sir.
Any milk?
Yes.
Thank you.
Well?
Yes.
Oh. Well, ask me if I can have any.
Right, sir.
Well, can we have any?
No.
Thank you.
Not me, sir. It's that blasted orchestra that keeps following me.
Please, Bloodnock! Please, Bloodnock!
Ellington, what is it? You look beige with fright.
The Tibetan porter say there's a huge hairy monster that roams the camp at night.
Gentlemen, I can't keep the truth from you any longer.
That is the abominable snowman.
The abominable snowman? But the Tibetans call him the Laku Magmag Shaldok Yala Maya Kupu Laku Bosko Belongu Zatsu Batsu.
And what does that mean? The abominable snowman.
Stop. The porter told me they've seen him.
Seen who?
The abominable snowman. He's 12 miles from here on the other side of the mountain, all right.
What? Splendid. Now, who'll go and capture him, eh? Well, Eddington. Seacom. Milligan. Benteen. Oh, come on, all of you. 12 miles away. Are you coming or aren't you? All right, you lousy yellow-livered cowards. I'll give myself. Give me my gun. 12 miles away. Goodbye, you cowards. He got away. I'll get him tomorrow.
Got him they did. They nailed the abominable snowman in a specially constructed box and flew it back to London. There, before a distinguished gathering of anthropologists, zoologists, and Mrs. Braddock, Bloodnock opened the box.
Thank you, gentlemen, thank you. And now, gentlemen, comes my proudest moment. I shall open the box and show you the result of 3 years' research and hardship in the frozen Himalayas. The first of its species ever to be brought back alive. The abominable snowman. Now, and here, ladies and gentlemen, we have the...
What is it, Major?
The abominable snowman.
What's happened?
He's melted.
Harry Seacom, Michael Benson, and Spike Milligan, with the Rare Lincoln Quartet, Max Gelder, and Stargate. The BBC Jazz Orchestra was conducted by Stanley Black. The script was written by Spike Milligan and Larry Stevens and edited by Jimmy Rock. The program was produced by Dennis Taylor.
Harry Seacom is now appearing in Jack and the Beanstalk at the Lyceum Theatre, Sheffield.